Dear listeners, welcome to our radio series, Love to Love, a Thursday live segment hosted by Radio Sai's Chandu Vijay at 2 PM every Thursday on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Today's episode was First Aid Live as part of Thursday Live on 30th March 2016.
From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. Today we have a talk by Professor Gangadhar Shastri. He had joined as the first staff member in Swami's college here in Prashanthi Nilayam as a lecturer in political sciences in 1979. Later, he even went on to become the assistant director of the Prashanthi Nilayam campus for a few years. He has been serving Bhagwan's mission for more than 30 years as of today, and continues to do so with gusto. And for today, his topic is Shraddha. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 18th of May 2016. For now, over to Professor Gangadhar Shastri.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Heartful Sai Ram to one and all. Today for this session, I thought, as usual, to speak on one aspect, a particular aspect, on which Bhagavan Baba guided us all through our stay here, when he was physically present, and even today continues to inspire us on that path. Spiritual aspirations are not very common with humans. Only the blessed ones are on the path of spirituality. When Bhagavan, in his incarnation as Krishna, revealed the secrets of this entire creation and also the goal that has to be accomplished by humans, he declared that the knowledge which was given to Arjuna was not given to anybody else. First time, he revealed himself in his full form and then said in the celestial song, millions and millions of people aspire to accomplish spiritual knowledge. Millions and millions of people try. Even we also try. We keep on trying. But at that time itself, Bhagavan, in the form of Krishna, declared, even if millions and millions and millions try, ultimately, probably, there will be only one who will be able to realize Brahmajnana. It is very tough. Brahmajnana is something which is extraordinarily difficult for people to cultivate in this world. Why? There is a problem. We want the blessings of Bhagavan Baba. We want Swami to talk to us. We want Swami to bless us. We want Swami to put us on the right path and help us in sanctifying our lives. Everybody wants. Everyone wants. But there is a problem. A want is not enough to be possessed, because wants do not get fulfilled by themselves. No want will get fulfilled by itself. Swami gave us a wonderful example while interacting with us one day. The same idea he presented to all the millions of people when he gave discourses in the Sai Kulwant Hall as well. When you are hungry, it is not enough if food is served in your plate. If you go on looking at the food, your hunger does not satiate. Does it satiate if you look at the food? It doesn't get satiated. When the food is served in your plate, you have to mix it in right proportions. And then bit by bit, take it in your palm, put it in your mouth, chew it, swallow it in the right way, in the right manner, to the right extent. Then it converts itself into energy, and then your hunger is satiated. If we go a little further, Bhagavan Baba one day said, by giving a little tougher example, it is a tougher because more effort is involved. Toughness is always measured in terms of effort. If you are supposed to put more and more serious effort, you think it tougher and tougher. That's all. Are you ready to put in more and more serious efforts? That means, are you ready to undertake tougher austerities? Tougher austerities. That is the reason why I told you it is not enough if you have a wish. Everybody wants. Everybody. Even if you go to a 10th class student and ask him, do you want Brahmajnana? He says, right now. Come and give me. Go to anybody, he'll be ready to take it. Okay, you want it, but are you ready to work for it? For everything in this world, you have to work. Nothing comes free. There is some effort to be put in case you want to accomplish something. As I told you, the tougher example given by Swami, the second example, next to eating food, which you have to mix and eat, the second example given by Swami is, in the family, before all the family members go to take their lunch, the woman in the house, in charge of everything, is in the kitchen, toiling from morning till evening. She is there, doing all the household work, cooking rice, cooking vegetables, cutting vegetables, preparing all kinds of dishes and works and works and works for more than 3 hours, 4 hours, and brings everything and puts it on the table and then says, come on, you eat. Yeah, I go there, I serve every dish and I enjoy. I relish the entire food. But did I pay any attention, even for a single fraction of a second, that there was a lot of effort behind making that food? Did I understand that the woman was toiling and toiling and toiling in the kitchen to make food? Am I ready to acknowledge that? We don't acknowledge. We go there, simply eat it and go away. Just as we go to canteen, give a coupon, food is served and just walk out. But how much effort is put in by people to make it ready? If only we watch, go and watch, go to canteen and see how people get up at 3 o'clock in the early morning. From 3 o'clock onwards, they start boiling milk, making tea, making coffee, making breakfast, everything, keeping it ready, bringing it onto the tables. When people just barge inside with their coupons, Sevadal people ready to serve, keep everything ready. So much of effort is there. So much of effort has gone into it. Then only there is something for you to partake. Bhagavan Baba, as God, wanted us to focus on that work, not on the food and eating. We start our thinking only with the food in front of you served on the table. That's all. Your thought process begins there only. Now how to eat it, that's all. But you don't think how it was made available to you. How it was made available to you. So many people worked, so many, many, many people toiled. They are spending sleepless nights. They are spending all their time in making it ready for you to satiate your hunger. To keep you in comfort, there are so many people working all the time. Am I focusing on them or not? I need to understand that. How I will be able to understand that? I have to apply my mind, think. You have to start learning how to think on various aspects, how things are happening in this world. Things do not happen by themselves. There are a lot of people toiling all the time. One day Bhagavan Baba was talking to us in Bhajan Hall. That day we were summoned. Suddenly there was a call from Swami. Ask all the teachers and students to come to Bhajan Hall. We were all surprised. Why there was a call that we should all assemble at 3:30 in the afternoon? We all went. Bhagavan was on his throne. And he was a bit serious. And also he was in a pensive mood. And as you know, devotees were all waiting outside, waiting for darshan, thousands of them, and Lord chose to spend some time with us, but the pensive mood in which we found him disturbed us. Said, why Swami is like this today? Bhagavan always taught us only one thing, how to think. Just how to think, that's all. The secret of your life is revealed to you only when you are able to think right. Are you able to think right? That's all. We need to learn to think. Now Bhagavan Baba called us, we were all sitting, and then that day it was really surprising that we saw a few drops of tears flowing down the eyes of Bhagavan Baba. We were shocked. No one would have ever seen, no one would have ever believed that Swami shed tears on something. You don't expect it, you don't even believe it probably when I say this. But he did. And then after some time, as we all assembled, Bhagavan Baba started talking to us. And then he himself revealed the reason why he was disturbed. He said, I am very much disturbed because that day some news was broken to him. It's not that he doesn't know, he knows it. But he pretends. God, when he is in human form, he loves to pretend. As if he did not know something. There is nothing never known to Bhagavan Baba. He knew everything. Because he is the conductor of the universe. He conducts the Panchabhutas. He conducts everything. So he knew. But then he wanted us to understand the aspect due to which he was a little pensive on that day. He said, a woman, because of her utter poverty, because she was not able to feed, wanted to put an end to her life and also wanted to end the lives of her children. And that incident took place somewhere in Dharmavaram. And when Bhagavan, it's not that these incidents take place, millions of incidents are happening all over. But Bhagavan wants to do something and set an example for something to reveal us his divinity. So he quoted that example on that day and said, why? Why such a thing should happen in a country like India, which is Annapurna. Mother Annapurna. Bharat is Mother Annapurna. Annapurna is the goddess of food. Annapurna is the mother of food, who gives food to the entire universe. In a country like this, why some incident like that should take place? And then Bhagavan Baba said, this is the one which disturbed me, and now why this happened? And then Bhagavan Baba himself gave the answer. He said, all these incidents, this one incident, like that many must be happening, millions across the globe every day, every minute should be happening. He said, this is all happening because of only one reason. The reason is, we have completely forgotten the reason of our existence on this planet. That's all. Why are we existing on this planet? Today, we are existing to exploit. It is materialism which is dominating our thinking all the time. Materialism. Materialism to such an extent that no one is satisfied with what he is having. We are never satisfied with what we have. We want more, more, more and more and more. And Bhagavan Baba any number of times told us, how much more? How much more do you want? And what will you do with all that? More and more and more and more. This materialism, this aspect of not getting satisfied with what you are having, is because of one fundamental reason. There is a fundamental reason. What is that reason? That reason is called ajnana. This is called ajnana. Ignorance. Total ignorance. We are dominated completely by ignorance. Swami told, you are all educated. But at the same time, you are dominated by ignorance. What is the purpose of that education which is not enlightening your thinking? Your thinking is not enlightened at all. If you look back into Esther years, 50 years back, 100 years back, how people lived in villages, completely the entire village identifying itself as one unit, all people helping each other. When there is a celebration in somebody's house, all the villagers go there to assist and contribute. Everybody contributes free. All kinds of things are given to make the function a grand success by everybody. It has been the tradition of this country that there is joy in only one thing. Real joy lies in one thing. One interesting thing is there. This idea Bhagavan Baba wanted to plant in our minds. All his effort, all his life, he put in effort to give us only one idea. According to me, my little understanding, Bhagavan Baba gave us wonderful idea. One wonderful means wonderful idea. Simple. Anybody can practice it. The real joy lies in giving. That's all. Are you ready to give anything to anybody? Are you ready to give anything to anybody? Anything. 1 rupee. 1 kerchief. 1 banyan. 1 towel. 1 pant. 1 shirt. 1 banana. 1 mango. 1 chocolate. Are you ready to give? Okay, forget about are you ready to give. Whether the thought to give, is it crossing your mind? Whether to give, is the thought there in your mind at all to give? If we close our eyes and think deep and question ourselves, did I ever think of giving anything to anybody? Oh, I don't think.
No.
I always wanted to take. Yeah, if somebody is giving, I am ready to take. Say, for example, outside Prashantilam on the road, somebody is distributing pencils. There will be a big fight among people to collect one pencil. There will be a big fight. People rush, fight between themselves like hell to collect one pencil. We don't mind degrading ourselves to such a level as to collect any insignificant thing that comes free to us. We don't tell ourselves even for a minute, something comes free, I don't want it. We have plenty of examples when people were offered and they said, I don't want to take it, give me some work. In return, I don't mind taking. Now, Bhagavan Baba, though physically is not present today, you must all be experiencing on every festive day, in Sai Kulwant Hall, great distribution goes on. Lot of sweets are distributed, mangoes are distributed, sometimes various other useful things, like say for example, saris, dhotis, which give pleasure to devotees are distributed. And when Swami was there, this is the season. This is mango season actually. When Swami was there, every day, hundreds and hundreds of mangoes were distributed in Sai Kulwant Hall free. Huge, huge mangoes. Because there were so many people who were bringing mangoes and offering to Bhagavan Baba. And Bhagavan Baba told us, when he interacted with us teachers and students, so many people come and give me so many mangoes. I don't touch even a single one. I don't eat any. I love to give. I love to give. This hand is there to just give, never to take, he said. God said that because he wanted to see us all as his reflections. Do you think you are a divine reflection? If you are a divine reflection, if you want to sanctify your life, you want to lead a life which is meaningful, the idea to give has to cross your mind, not to take. Am I ready to give? When I joined the university as a staff member from outside, I came here in 1979. And it was first time I was exposed to so much of philosophy in my life. So much of philosophy, Bhagavan Baba, God himself giving us the spiritual lessons every day. And so many people coming forward, so many professors, not from Indian universities alone, from Harvard University, Oxford University and other accomplished universities in the world coming to Bhagavan Baba, falling at his feet and begging, Bhagavan, kindly permit me to give 1 hour lecture in your university. Just 1 hour. And Bhagavan says, we will see. So many people, when every lecture of such a professor was getting him many dollars, many pounds, they were ready to come. Even today, there are many professors who visit our university from various universities. They come, they give lectures free. For 1 month, they stay, they take leave from United States of America, where we want to run. I want to spend my life in US. There are people from US who want to spend their time in Prashantinilayam. One day, and it was new in 1980, Dasara celebrations were on and I did not know what Dasara was. And I did not know what Prashantanam was and I did not know who was Bhagavan Baba. I just came, I joined. And thousands of people were flocking around here for the celebrations. Swami was performing Mahayajna. To witness the Yajna by the Yajna Purusha himself. He is the Yajna Purusha himself. He is the Yajna himself. But he did everything for our benefit. So I got up and asked him, Bhagavan, if you kindly grant me permission, I want to go and spend some time with my father and mother in my village, in the other corner of Andhra Pradesh. And Bhagavan Baba looked at me and said, when the whole world is coming here to witness the Yajna, you want to go away from here? I didn't answer. He said, I wish you are here. Then I said, I am here, Swami. Whatever you say, I don't know how it happened, though I came as a raw fellow to Prashantanalayam. Since day one onwards, I got completely attached to Prashantanalayam, mostly to the veranda, as if I was stuck with the best gum possible. Sit there only, wait for Bhagavan to emerge out. Whenever he emerged out, it was wisdom, it was knowledge. Some people came from London, a group. One day they were all sitting there. Swami came to me, I was sitting in the veranda, looked at me and said, this all happened after darshan. Bhagavan used to pick up some people for interview. Interviews got over. And bhajans were to begin by 9 o'clock. In between, people always went for breakfast. So Swami, after completing the interview on that day, very quickly came out. Not many people were in the veranda. He walked to the edge of the veranda where I was sitting. He looked at me and said, turn to your right. So I turned to the right and saw, and he showed me a small group of foreigners sitting there, about 15-20 of them. He said, do you know who they are? I said, Swami, I don't know. They are all boys who sell newspapers in London. They sell newspapers. Oh, is that so, Swami? They sell newspapers? Immediately my mind started going through a flood of thoughts. Newspaper selling people, how is it possible for them all the way to fly to India, come to Prashantanalayam, sit here and have darshan of Bhagavan Baba? And God reads your mind, because your thought is Him. There is not much of a difference between thought and Bhagavan. Your thought, every thought is nothing but a divine grace. Because of divine grace, it is the divine form which takes actually the form of a thought. The only thing that you can do is, according to Bhagavan Baba, you can use your discretion and see to it that positive thoughts dominate, negative thoughts are deleted. Whenever a negative thoughts come to your mind, there is a delete button. Press it. Delete, 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 delete. I want somebody to do some service to me. Delete. No, I don't want somebody to do it. Immediately some thought comes to your mind. I want to serve somebody. Register that thought. Delete all thoughts which want to cause any inconvenience of any kind to others in the society. Sometimes I wonder, when I am walking on the road or when I am driving a car, somebody walking in the middle of the road, when I conk the horn, he turns back and looks at me as if he were going to kill me. Now you don't realize that you are in the middle of the road walking, causing some inconvenience to somebody else. And on the top of it, you turn back and say, how dare you conk the horn? Are we not to be polite and cultured when we are walking on the road? Are we not to be polite when we go to canteen and take our food? We shout at Sevadal. When you call him, he passed by your side and he moved forward and you look at him, hey, no, you have no right to criticize. You have no right to comment. There is somebody who came all the way from some other place to offer his service and he is serving you. You are getting served. Getting served puts you in a low position always. Serving, a person who is serving is always on a higher position. He is offering you service willingly, without expecting anything from you. You better exhibit that great culture to respect somebody who is ready to serve you. Even if that person, sometimes the person who is serving you is out of tune with the situation, you should not lose your balance. I quoted this example on a number of times when I spoke earlier here. One day, as we were sitting in the veranda for darshan, Bhagavan Baba was in his interview room, and suddenly the interview room door opened and Swami emerged out, walked a few steps into the VIP veranda and asked our former vice chancellor, he said, "Vice Chancellor, get up," he said. And the vice chancellor got up, and then very politely Bhagavan Baba, and as if he were whispering into the ears of the vice chancellor, he told him, "May I know why you were shouting at the Sevadal near the gate?" And vice chancellor said, "Swami, me? Yeah? Yes? Why did you shout at the vice chancellor there? At the Sevadal there?" He said, "I know. You were coming and the Sevadal wanted you to go through the metal detector. And then you said, 'Who do you think I am? How dare you ask me to go to the metal detector? Behave yourself.' You shouted at him and came away. And Swami asked him a question. 'Whom do you think the Sevadal is serving, first of all? Do you think he is serving you or serving me?' 'Swami, they are all here to serve you. And when he asked you to go through the metal detector, what did he do?' 'He was doing his job. He just did his job.' 'How does he know that you are the vice chancellor, first of all? He doesn't know that you are a vice chancellor. One, you did not do your job. Second thing, you lost your balance. Third thing is you shouted at him. I think it is prudent now, go back, apologize to him and come back.' So he was made to go and apologize and come back, thereby giving everybody a lesson in the entire veranda. Swami always wanted us to be only one thing in this world. He wanted us all to be servants. We are all servants. In fact, we don't have any standing on this planet as any special beings. We are, along with many other things which are created in this universe by Bhagavan, we are one insignificant creation of Bhagavan Baba. And Bhagavan Baba wanted us to understand that we are very, very, very insignificant. What is the problem for you on the path to spirituality is revealed to Swami hundreds of times. He told us the worst problem on the road to spirituality in this world for all of us is only one thing, that is our ego. Me, I. Who are you? What are you? Where are you going to be after a few years? Nobody remembers you. No one. You have to vacate. Everybody will have to vacate this place. You are on this planet by somebody's grace. You have to vacate at his command. That's all. For this small interval which is called a life, during which you are here, is it necessary for you to think that you are a boss here? No? Nothing? What is your contribution, positive contribution, to the progress of anybody in this world? Is there any contribution? No. Now, the idea is, when I told you in the beginning what we have to do, I said we have to do only one thing, that is think. Think. Just think. Before doing anything, think. Am I behaving like a human being or not? Am I speaking like a human being or not? Am I seeing like a human being or not? Am I listening to something as a human being or not? Am I conducting myself as a human being or not? Everywhere, wherever you go to mandir, you go to canteen, you go to stores, you walk on the road, you go back to your village, you go back to your city, whatever you are doing, you are in your office doing everything, ask yourself one question. Am I behaving like a human being or not? There is a question. That's why Bhagavan Baba asked us always to think and think. One day he gave a fantastic discourse. Every discourse was fantastic, of course. In the Sai Kulwant Hall, and wanted to reveal this truth that you need to think. You need to think. He declared to us on that day while saying, I want to give you a mantra to realize yourself. You will all become spiritual masters overnight. I will give you one mantra. That's all. Everybody was perfectly attentive. Perfectly. 100% attention. Because Swami was going to give some mantra. That mantra is going to make you realize yourself. One second, you are going to be God. And whenever Bhagavan Baba wanted to give some very interesting punch to us, he used to play this pun with us. It was something like a pun. He said, I'll give you a mantra. Come on, get ready. Yes, Swami, we are all ready. And then on that day, are you ready? He asked. Yes, Swami, we are ready. Do you want that mantra? Yes, Swami, of course we want that mantra, Swami. Are you attentive? Very attentive, Swami. Are you right? Yes, Swami, right, right. Come on. Now, Swami, now, right now. No more delay, Swami, please give it as quickly as possible. I want to chant that mantra and become immediately a realized soul. And then he made fun with all of us for some time and then said, do you think I am going to give a mantra like Om Namah Shivaya or Om Namo Narayanaya or any other mantra like that? How do we know, Swami, what mantra you are going to give us? We want that mantra without any delay. So everybody was very attentive. Come on, coming. Mantra is coming. Okay, being revealed. Yes, Swami. Then suddenly he said, you have to tell yourself, close your eyes, focus completely on your mind, and chant this mantra from morning till evening, all the time. And you will be a realized soul. Yes, Swami? And Swami said, you know what the mantra is? Swami, tell us, Swami. What? Again and again, don't ask, what is that mantra? What is that mantra? And suddenly he said, he loved actually to make fun with all the people sometimes and also hit them very hard. These are punches which hit you very hard. That was the time when he played this fun for some time. He said, come on, note down this mantra. Yes, Swami. What is that mantra? And he said, okay, the mantra is coming. Come on, I am revealing it to you. Yes, Swami, reveal please. And he said, okay then, close your eyes. Don't listen to anything. Maintain internal silence and tell yourself, Nenu Manishini, Nenu Manishini, Nenu Manishini, Nenu Manishini, Nenu Manishini, Nenu Manishini. You tell yourself, I am a human being, 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 I am a human. Go on chanting this mantra, he said. Swami, what is this mantra, Swami? Because you are not human beings now. Everybody was, this is a discourse which was given by Bhagavan Baba in this Sai Kulwant Hall, in which he declared this and said, tell yourselves you need to understand that you are human beings. You know why? Until and unless you realize that you are a perfect human being, it is not possible for you to move towards divine. How will you become divine when you don't conduct yourselves as humans? You are far, far, far below human level. You are not even conducting yourselves as human beings because you are completely dominated by kama, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, matsarya. Arishad workers are eating you away into your vitals. So many desires, so much of desire, full of desire for everything. And so much of desire for wealth, lobha, unending lobha. Krodha, you are angry for everything. Everything you get angry, for every small thing you get angry. When you are dominated by Arishad Vargas like this, how do you think you are going to move towards God? That is not possible. First of all, chisel yourself from within and become good human beings. So that your desires are under your control and you don't desire anything except which is minimum required for you to exist. After explaining this part of the mantra, suddenly Swami said, this is only half mantra. Then everybody was shocked. Swami, what is this? Swami, you said already, tell yourself human being, human being, human being, human being. Okay, I'm a human being. So you begin to think like humans. Then he said, the rest of the part of the human mantra is, tell yourself, nenu pasuvunu kaadu, pasuvunu kaadu, pasuvunu kaadu, pasuvunu kaadu. I am not an animal, I am not an animal, I am not an animal, I am not. You tell yourself, I am not an animal also. And then he explained this part also and said, you know why it is important to tell yourself that you are not an animal? Swami explained. You have to tell yourself that you are not an animal because you have some wealth of yours. You want to acquire others' wealth. I am not happy with my wealth. I want to take away my brother's wealth also. And I don't want to work. I want everything to happen to me. Somebody should cook for me. Somebody should serve me. Somebody should earn wealth for me. Somebody should work for me. And somebody should suffer for my good health also. If I want to go through favor, somebody should go through favor for me. Let somebody take my favor. If I am going to face an accident, let somebody else face the accident. Let me not face the accident. I want to study and write the exam. Let somebody else study and write the exam for me. What are all these qualities? Animal qualities. Swami said, you are possessed by animal qualities. You don't want to work. You don't want to study. You don't want to earn. You don't want to do anything for yourself. You want others to go through all that suffering for you. Tell me, is it not right when I address you as animals? Not only this, he went a step further and said, it doesn't stop here. When somebody else gets a gold medal, you envy him. Oh my God, he got gold medal. When somebody is blessed with a son, oh my God, he is blessed with a son. When somebody else's child got a medical seat, oh my God, his son got a medical seat. Somebody's son is going to US, oh my God, his son is going, my son is not going. What do you mean by all this? How long do you want to go on cribbing and crying on the prosperity of others? Don't you know, Swami asked, don't you know, even if you cry, it will not stop. Somebody has to get medical seat, he will get it. Because you are crying, it won't stop. Somebody has to go to US, he will go, whether you cry or not. Because of your crying, is it possible for you to stop any good happening to others in the world? No. The best thing for that is, the medicine for this disease, Bhagavan Baba said, beautiful medicine, wonderful medicine. Swami said, do one thing. When somebody else's son got medicine seat, wholeheartedly go hug the child. Congratulations. Fantastic. Wish you the very best. You should be a wonderful doctor. You should accomplish many, many more things in life. Serve the society. Somebody got a lottery. Go to him. Congratulate him. Somebody get a gold medal. Hare, fantastic. You know what happens? This should go to such an extent that when a small kid comes to you with a small paper on which he drew some meaningless lines, brings it to you and says, "Tata, see this picture of a horse. It doesn't look like horse anywhere." Hug him and tell him, "Are my child, what a beautiful horse you drew. Fantastic. Beautiful. Come on, draw more. Do more things." Is it possible for us to grow there, go there, to that goal? Can't we walk that road of appreciation, everything in this world? Can't we think on those lines? Can't we change our mode of thinking? This is the context in which it is said something is required. What is that? There is a secret. In the Adhyatmic parlance, that secret is called Shraddha. Shraddha is nothing but steadfastness. Steadfastness means when I read something, I think I understood. No, you did not understand it completely. Read it once again. Read it once again. Read it once again. Go on reading and reading and reading and try to understand the positive side of that wisdom. By eliminating all that which is not interesting, Shraddha, Shraddha is required. When Shraddha is there, anything is possible, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Bhagavan declared to the world, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Jnana is possible only to one who cultivates Shraddha. Shraddha is what? To put it in simple terms, accessible to people like us. We cannot talk of the Shraddha of the kind of Valmiki or Vasishta. We are all in Kali Yuga. Okay, let us at least bring it down to some level where we can manage it. So sometimes I wonder whether Shraddha is something like discipline. Disciplining yourself. You want to get up at 4 o'clock, put the alarm, when the alarm rings, put it off and go to bed again. You won't get up. You need to get up and go for prayer. You want to go for prayer, take a walk, go to a theater, don't go to the temple. It is time for you to read, you want to go to the ground and play. It is time for you to learn something, you won't learn it. It is time for you to listen, you don't listen. What are you doing? That means an indisciplined way of life is led by everybody in this world, wherein Shraddha is lacking. Bhagavan Baba taught us Shraddha by undergoing lot of difficulties. He took lot of trouble to teach us, actually speaking. He took lot of trouble. When I look back, ever since I came to Prashantalam in 79 and I lived in the presence of Bhagavan Baba, in his physical proximity, sitting before him, what did he really do? I was talking to my family members on the other day. We are a family of about 30-40 members living in one room. The whole veranda we occupy. We have to go for darshan because Bhagavan Baba comes, gives sometime darshan at 6 o'clock in the morning. 30 fellows to be ready and run for darshan. Only one bathroom. 30 fellows in one single kitchen, small kitchen. You have to cook food for all the 30 people, sit and eat. 30 people to dress up and ready. Swami gives darshan at 6, so get up at 3. All 30 fellows will have to get up at 3 o'clock. Finish everything, get ready, dress up and rush to mandir because lines are there. You have to join the line. And if you want to get first line, you rush and go there and join there. It is all going to be really tough. By 4:30 or so, people are there already in mandir. They go inside, sit there. Sitting is not simply sitting, chanting whatever you like. You have to maintain absolute silence. Absolute silence means when I am sitting, when the person next to me is breathing in and out, I was able to hear his breath. That is the kind of silence. When dry leaves were falling from the trees, we were able to hear the sound. Absolute pin drop silence in Prashanta Nilayam. Everybody is sitting. Swami was expected at 6 o'clock. Sometimes he doesn't come at 6. People are all waiting and sitting. 6 o'clock, 6:15, 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8, 8:30, 9, 9:30. Bhajans are going on and on and on. Wait, sit there. This was our life for me. It was more than 3 decades my life was that way. Just sitting. Just sit. Don't talk. It is time for you to go to college. Sometimes Swami used to talk to us. After interviews, comes out into the veranda and says, come on, let me tell you something about how to teach. He gave us lectures on how to teach. And we were there listening to, suddenly he looks at his hand. No watch there. He never wore a watch actually. Hey, it is time for you to go to college. Go now. 8:40 you have to go to college, and 8:30 he looks at his watch, which is not there, and just go. Go. And 9:30, 10 o'clock after Bhajan Aarti, he used to take a ride sometimes. And when he comes out by his car, he sees some teacher on the road. 10:30, 11 o'clock. Your lunch time is 12 o'clock. 12 to 1 is your lunch. And he comes back in the evening after darshan, after interviews, he calls the principal or the vice chancellor and tells him, Mr. Vice Chancellor, why was that I saw a teacher at 10:30 on the road by name so-and-so? Swami, I don't know. It is your job to find out why he was on the road. He was supposed to be in the college till lunch hour. Is it not? Find out and tell me. So we get summons. You go there and then get it from Vice Chancellor. If you are fortunate, you don't get it next day. Otherwise, you get it next day from Bhagavan himself directly in the veranda. He would ask you to get up in the presence of all the teachers and students. Oh, you are a teacher. And during working hours, you are loitering on the road. Swami, yeah, I found you at 10:30 on the road there. Swami, I went out on some work. How can you go? It is working hours. During working hours, you are supposed to be on the campus there, is it not? And then comes the punch. When you are yourself not disciplined, how can you teach discipline to your students? Get out, he says. And this is the logic applied by him not only to teachers, to students also. When you do not conduct yourself as a student, you need not be a student of my college. And when parents bring their children, when they misbehave, when you do not know to parent your children, how to bring up your children, you are not good parents. You know the problems of the society? The society of the problems are because 2 sections of the community failed in the modern times, he said. 1 section is the teachers. They don't teach properly and properly. And who is a right teacher? According to Bhagavan Baba, teacher is one who teaches something which he practices. Without practicing, you cannot teach. That is another problem. I was having a problem in 1979 when I came fresh from the world outside. Let me not be ashamed of sharing this truth with you. I used to smoke at least 3-4 packets a day. I was a chain smoker. Bhagavan Baba tolerated me for 1 full year. And meanwhile, one day he called me and said, do you like your students to smoke? I know, Swami, how do I expect our students to smoke? But then, so you want to tell your students not to smoke? Definitely, Swami, I don't want. But when you smoke, how will you tell them? Then the student turns back and asks you, hey, what moral authority you have to ask me not to smoke? You yourself, you are smoking. Do you have any answer? So now you stop first. By His grace I could stop. It's not that I put in any effort and did it. It's not so easy. But the thing is, better not to cultivate that habit itself, because what you expect from others, you should do it first according to Bhagavan Baba. This is Shraddha. Shraddha is nothing but an attitude through which you do what you expect others to do unto you. Very simple. I want everybody to be disciplined. Not me. Right? How can you expect others to be disciplined when you are not disciplined? I want to speak polite. I want everybody to be polite to me. You don't speak politely to others. How do you expect? You have the right to shout at everybody, but everybody should be loyal to you. Everybody should be polite to you, grateful to you, respectful to you, and all that. Is it not, say, against the philosophy that you are preaching, that you want everybody to be good to you and you are not good to anybody in the society? What is it lacking? The thing that is lacking is Shraddha. That steadfastness, that firm conviction in what you believe, that is lacking in you. You believe something, you want something, and you don't practice it, you want everybody else to do it, which is nothing but hypocrisy. I want everybody to be spiritual. I want everybody to get up, go to Nagar Sankirtan, go to bhajans, go to temples, feed poor people and all that. I don't do anything. Wow, that means you want others to simply do what you want them to do, and you yourself do not do anything. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. If you want jnana, if you want knowledge, Shraddha. Complete confidence in what you are speaking. Complete confidence, total confidence in what you are speaking. Speak with confidence. You are speaking something and doing something. You are preaching everybody and you are not doing it. You want your children to do certain things. You yourself don't do. One day Swami gave us an example in the veranda, how parents spoil their children. He was very unhappy with parents actually all his life. And he said, today's society is on the bad road. And he said, the guilt is to be placed at the doorstep of parents. It is parents who are not able to control their children. Tell them. You tell them. In modern times, sometimes I wonder, I go to the primary school to see kids on every Sunday to give them food. My God, it is a shocking sight on every Sunday to me. I get tremendously disturbed. Though I am helpless, I can do nothing about it. Grandparents, parents, friends who go to visit the children, small children, they give mobile phones to them and tell them talk. And that fellow will be talking. How you know? Walking up and down. Walking up and down, that fellow will be going on. You call him and ask him to take something which you took for him to eat. No, don't worry, I am talking. I was reading a news piece recently which disturbed me a lot. Reported in the newspapers. Nowadays on the trains, most of the people are very busy, I believe. How you know? Father has got a laptop. He'll be watching a film. Mother has got iPad. She'll be watching something. Son has got some palm top or something. And daughter has got something else, listening to music. Everybody is happy in their own world all the time, all through the day, all through the life. Father doesn't recognize mother, mother doesn't recognize son, son doesn't recognize daughter. They don't know what they are doing. Why is it that we don't put them in their limits? Bhagavan Baba did not allow us to have a TV. In ashram, you don't have a TV. Even today, a TV is not allowed in ashram. A newspaper, according to him, is a waste paper. Television, according to him, is televisham. Televisham is poison. It poisons your mind. Try this, for example, for some time and understand. Try this. Sit in some place. Try. Without fail, try this. Sit in some place. Go on chanting the name of Swami. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. If you are watching TV for 2 hours a day, reduce it to 1 hour. 1 hour go on chanting the name of Swami. See the difference. As you chant Swami's name for 1 hour, your mind is calm, controlled slowly over a period of time. And you go on watching your TV, your BP is up, resulting in sugar. Because you don't know what is going to happen next minute on the TV. That serial is very dangerous. They put so much of tension packed into it. You will be waiting, in fact, for the next episode. Till the next episode you don't see, you can't even sleep and eat. That is the tension packed into you. And your family is all waiting. Swami openly chastised parents one day when he spoke in Sai Kulwanthal. When it is holidays time, I feel so sad. Swami said, it is holidays time, I feel so sad. Because all the children here, who are like roses in my rose garden. I am having a beautiful garden here. University, central school, primary school. These are all beautiful gardens in which I have beautiful roses here. These roses, I don't even expose them to too much of sunshine. I protect them. Veda chanting, Nagar Sankirtan, Suprabhatam, Vedas, Upanishads, lessons, homework, drawing, all skills from morning till evening, chanting and chanting and chanting, including teachers staying here in the hostel, taking care of them much better than parents. I do all this and suddenly parents take them away. When they take them away, what do? Swami gave this example to us on that day, which was really shocking to all of us. I believe when they take them home, they don't even take them into the kitchen to feed. In the drawing hall, they put their children on the sofa in front of a wonderful, huge TV. They put on a program and tell the child, oh my child, you missed TV for so many months. You have lost so much in your life. Come on, compensate for that. Sit here only. Don't move. I will get all the food here and go on serving. Sit here and eat. Is this the way that you destroy the future of a child? Putting him before TV and asking him to indulge in things? Or should we say that you are a Satya Sai student? Conduct like one, even when you go home. Swami expected this from all the children in those days. And even today we expect the same thing. That is possible only when parents behave fine. Swami gave an example and said, somebody comes and says, sir, I want to talk to your father. Would you mind calling? Somebody goes inside and says, somebody came to talk to you. Tell him I am not at home. So the boy goes and says, my father is not at home. You teach the child how to speak a lie. Says, yeah, father is here only. He is asking me to speak lie. Come on, I will speak. So you teach them how to speak lies. What is the one missing in our lives? The thing that is missing is Shraddha. Shraddha van labhate jnanam. Focus your mind on whatever you are doing from morning till evening. Eating food, Shraddha is required. Eating food. You can't eat food having your thoughts completely on negative aspects. No. When you are sitting before eating, Bhagavan said, pray before you eat. Pray. Wholeheartedly. Look at Brahmarpanam Brahmavihi. Brahmagno brahmanahutam brahmaivate nagantavyam brahmakarma samadhina aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam dehamashritah pranapanasamayukta pachamyannam chaturvidham. Let the food be nectar. Nectarine food. It gives beautiful thoughts, wonderful thoughts. Food goes into your mind, body, turns itself into nectar. Shraddha. You are taking water. Be careful. Swami told us, no wasting water, no wasting food, no wasting money, no wasting electricity. Nothing is to be wasted. Nothing. Why, Swami? If you are wasting, somebody is losing. The food that I am leaving in my plate, which is thrown in the dustbin, would have been used by somebody else. I don't have any right to throw away. They have another spiritual principle, so don't accumulate more than what you require. Go to the canteen or go to the stores, go to the market, and you are fascinated by the wonderful, colorful mangoes. Buy a dozen, 20, bring home and cook it there. Eat only two, rest are rotten, throw in the dustbin. Are? Somebody would have eaten. Mother Nature, whatever she is giving is a collective property. It is not anybody's property. It is not only human's property. It is not our property alone. It is the property of the trees, the birds and the beasts, and all the insects and all kinds of creatures in this world. They have equal right over everything that is created by God in this world. Shraddha. Shraddha. Apply Shraddha. Shraddha is very important in doing whatever you are doing. Bhagavan Baba told us such fascinating things. One day he told us, in the interview room, he was talking to all of us, and he wanted to give Vibhuti Prasadam to somebody. He materialized a Vibhuti, gave it to somebody. That person was having Vibhuti in his palm. And that person waited for 1 minute, 2 minutes. And Bhagavan Baba immediately, what he did was, he pulled out a cover, a letter given by a devotee to him. He opened the cover and he took the letter out. There is a small portion at the end which was not written. The rest of the paper was written. The unwritten part he tore, he gave to the person and said, keep it in this, fold it and keep it in your pocket. And Swami said, such unwritten parts of paper, I cut it and keep it here. Unwritten parts of papers were there, already put on his teepai there for him to scribble something. And when covers are there, he said, I will tear off the cover. On the reverse side of the cover, I will scribble something. And it's a practical example which he practiced and taught us. Shraddha, how he followed it. Whenever he came out to give darshan, from the interview room when he emerged, Bhagavan Baba invariably put off the fan and the light. He used to put off the fan and the light and comes out. Completes darshan, picks up people for interview, goes inside, comes out again, keeps all his letters everywhere on the teepai there, brings out people. He says, come, all of you come inside. When all people were following him, he steps into the interview room first. He calls them, then he puts on the light and the fan once again. I don't want to waste even a single unit of electricity. The one who taught us Shraddha. Shraddha. Anything you are doing, if you don't apply Shraddha, when somebody is teaching, apply your mind, you understand it. If you don't apply your mind, you don't understand. Shraddhavan labhati jnanam. Where there is no shraddha, it is not possible for us to improve. So most important thing to be cultivated, that trait that we have to cultivate in our lives, to be spiritual, to be good, to lead a comfortable life, a meaningful life, a fruitful life, it is called shraddha. Discipline. Be disciplined wherever you are. And Bhagavan Baba taught us, I want to see you perfect in everything. Swami, what do you mean by everything? How you stand. I want to see how you stand. If you are not standing right, he never liked it. How you are sitting. If you are not sitting right, he did not like it. He had to come and correct our students. When our students were not sitting straight, to come and, this is not the way you should sit. Sit straight. Sitting. Eating food. Talking. How do you talk to others? Whatever you are doing, it is to be done in a disciplined manner. Where there is no discipline, where there is no shraddha, perfect shraddha, focused behavior, completely focused, concentrated behavior. Even when I am talking to my child also, I have to follow the discipline. You cannot say that it is my own child, so I will use whatever language I want. No, your child will pick up the same language. I cannot speak whatever language I want to my students, because students are going to pick up the same language. I cannot stand wherever I want and do whatever I want, near a pawn shop, on the road, do whatever I want. My students will watch and they'll say that he's standing there, I'll also stand. And a father cannot do whatever he wants. His children will say, I will also do the same thing. A father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a teacher. We are all playing different roles in the society on different occasions. I'm a father at home. I'm a husband when I'm speaking to my wife. I'm a father when I'm talking to children. When I go to the school, I'm a teacher. When I go to my vice chancellor, I'm an employee. I have so many roles to play. Every role has got to be synchronized and regulated, modulated, controlled completely by shraddha. Shraddha, discipline. This way you do, you sanctify your life. This is what Bhagavan Baba did all his life. Every minute he spent all his life to teach us and said that my life is my message. Shraddha is his message. So, I think we need to walk on that road so that we become deserving of the grace of Bhagavan Baba and sanctify our lives.
Sai Ram, you just heard to a talk by Professor Gangadhar Shastri. This came to you as an episode of our radio series Love to Love, a Thursday live segment hosted by Radio Sai's Chandu Vijay at 2 p.m. every Thursday on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Today's episode was First Aid Live as part of Thursday Live on 30th March 2016. Dear listeners, send us your feedback and comments on this. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.